So Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah was, forget how old Sarah was, she was up there in age. I think she was in her 90s. Gets the son he always wants, treasures this son because this is a gift from God, and suddenly the day comes, and God says, "Now I want you to take Isaac and the firewood and the knife, and you're going to go up on Mount Moriah, and you're going to sacrifice him." Now think about that for a minute. This is something God gives to you, and you had to wait a long time for it, and all the while you allowed your faith to grow, you finally receive it, and now you love it dearly, and now God tells you to sacrifice it. And what does Abraham do? He didn't argue. He did not argue with God. He didn't question God. He packs up his mule. Did he discuss it with Sarah? No. No discussion with Sarah. Packs up the mule with all the firewood and what's needed, takes Isaac, and off they go. I can't conceive of this. But Abraham knew and just obeyed because he's obeying his friend. What did Abraham learn in his obedience? He got up there, got everything ready. The Bible does not say there's any argument from Isaac. We don't know. But just as he's poised and ready to kill the sacrifice, an angel appears and said, "Do not kill. We now know your heart." And a ram appears. So in his obedience, Isaac learned that God would provide. God provided the sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I can take me. How many times have we sung that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider? That's very easy to flip out of the mouth. But how well do we do that in the hard place? I can do that in the easy place when I know that God's provided something in a very joyful time, and oh, thank you, Lord. But how about in those real hard places? Those ones that really are difficult, that stretch every bit of faith that we think we have, and then more. And it's a hard, painful area. This could not have been easy for Abraham. But in that area of obedience where it was very hard, Abraham learned more of the friend that probably thought he knew. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But he knows God very well by this time. So Lord was showing me those are two ways we learn more about who God is. And it was interesting as I was pondering on this last night, I'm recalling back in 88, 89 when I went through a breakdown, God reveals himself to me, kept me alive. So I found out in that point that God knew me of all the people on the earth. That blew me away, still does to this day. Knew me enough to keep me alive because I felt like I was, if you've never gone through a breakdown, it's very hard to describe the inner pain, because all the hurts and the pains, the anger and the hate that I had smooshed. So it was still all in me. And because it was raising havoc with my system. I didn't know that. But God could overrule that enough to keep me alive. So as I pondered on this, I realized God was able to keep me alive. He had to love me, which I did not know. Now, this is in 89. I'm no young person. In 89, I'm in my 50s. He loves me. Well, I still just would. That didn't compute. Doesn't compute on anything so bad as me. He couldn't possibly love. But the fact remains dead. So I chose to obey the voice, not knowing anything about God, just obeying what I'm hearing. And as I walked it out, I ended up on medication. I lasted on that medication maybe 2 months. I don't know, even if it was 3. Made me violently ill. Violently. I had to drop it. Doctors say you can't do that. say what you want. I'm going to drop it and trust. Well, that's a pretty amazing thing for me to say. I have no level of trust, but I had no option left. I was having too violent a reaction. God did something amazing at this point that it just shakes up all the understanding. If you've ever had that revelation from God, when the Holy Spirit just lights you up and you just know it because the Holy Spirit has impacted you, what God did for me at that point is, I remember where I was, I remember the chair I was sitting in, what I heard, and the whole inner part of my spirit just blew up was, this is truth. And I knew it, that I knew it, that I knew it. God kept that feeling going, I would say a good 20 minutes. I was getting impacted. And I was stunned. Nobody was home. Stunned. I told nobody. This is too far out for me at this point. But at any rate, what it did is it kept me alive. Because when having dropped all the medication and all the stuff I was still dealing with, if I didn't have that, I don't know how I would have lived. Because now I knew that no matter what hit me, it's like, wait a minute. What this says is truth. What I'm hearing is not. All the other junk that was coming in, all the other battles, because Satan certainly was not going to let this creature get away. But it kept me alive. It kept me alive for a very, very long time. But I'm still just obeying without really knowing the one who's telling me this. This is really strange. And I thought back on this last night. I thought, wow, God. I questioned some parts of him, but it still was a confusing area to me. Then there was another point further on, maybe at this point I had already quit my job in food service. So this happened before I even quit my job, before the breakdown. I was a manager of the food at Farm Credit Bank. And one day, you know how they have those pots of water on the for tea water? That dropped and fell on my foot. I got a first, second, and third degree burn right in the instep of my foot. Had to go to the emergency room, was treated. The pain was incredible, absolutely incredible. But I worked for a man who did not allow his managers to take time off. No. So I had to come in, sit at the desk with my foot propped up, and try to run the, where we serve lunch to the employees of Farm Credit Bank. And lo and behold, I'm sitting there, and this man comes walking in. He was one of the workmen. They were doing some building in the bank. And he walks right up to me, and he says, look at me. This is a strange thing to have. I do not know him. I said, yeah. He says, do you see any burn marks on my face? I said, no. He said, I had tar, hot tar, splatter in my face, and I'm going to give you the name of the doctor who treated me. I'm proof. Will you go? Well, you know, this little inner knowing knows who sent him. Okay, gives me the name of the doctor. I went to the doctor. He disagreed totally with the emergency room doctor's treatment. Washed it all off my foot, gave me a whole new treatment. But I'm sitting there waiting for this doctor. I hear in my spirit, again, here I'm hearing it, this will all be gone in 8 weeks. Okay. But I get into the doctor, and he tells me that I can no longer even go out into the sunshine at all, that I will have a scar that'll be there for 10 years, and I'll have difficulty in this area for 10 years. But meanwhile, I've heard 8 weeks. I don't say boo. I'm going to wait. 8 weeks later, the whole thing is gone. And the doctor looks at my, he's stunned. He cannot believe his eyes. Well, I'm still too shaky, still too fearful, and I'm mumbling about, yep, God did it, yep, it's okay, God took care of it. The doctor was blown away and had to just, I'm done. So there again, I'm learning, but I still don't know who's behind it. I don't know the character of God. I know who's speaking to me, but I don't know his character. And when I finally obeyed the voice that told me to take the job with the SHINE program, again, I'm really not knowing the character of God. I obeyed it. But what I did learn, and this is where I did learn something about God, is that I'm in a job that I've never done any of this before. I didn't qualify for the job. First off, no qualify whatsoever. But I end up with it, and I am director of Hamden County for the program. So I teach new counselors. I have to cover the whole county with the information, get it out there, engage other people, and I have to counsel. Never done it before. Have no training, no nothing. And that was rather a scary position to be in. So I just kept doing it. But the more I did it, the more I sat there and I said, that's funny. I can do this. I wonder why I can do this. And finally it impacted me. Because God gave me the ability to do it. Because he told me to do it. So he gave me the ability to do it. So I learned something about God, which I've shared with many people who were very scared to take a new position. I said, if God told you to do it, don't worry. He's going to give you what it takes. And I did walk forward with that. So there I am, still going through this week. Okay, God, I'm learning more about you. What else, you know, to grant an understanding of your character, because for each one of us, it's essential to me, even in this day and age, it's essential that we know the character of God in order for us to walk where he is calling us to walk. So I go back to what I was reading and looking at and allowing God to impact me. And there's another area where God was revealing himself. If you want to go with me to Leviticus 10. This one is rather a scary one, but you know what? If we don't know this, we can make the same mistake. And that's something God puts in his word so we don't make the same mistake. So in Leviticus 10, Aaron, as we know, is the high priest with Moses. And the two sons mentioned here, Nadab and Abihu, are the sons of Aaron. And they each took their censer because they were ministering in the tabernacle. And put fire in it and put incense on it and offered strange and unholy fire. I'm reading from the Amplified. Offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord as he had not commanded them. And there came forth fire from before the Lord and killed them, and they died before the Lord. That's a pretty scary thing to read, isn't it? Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will be acknowledged as hallowed by those who come near me, and before all the people, I will be honored. As the Lord is impacting me with this awareness during this week, I know I'm reading truth, that as we, especially here in House of Prayer, are choosing to come closer to God, that we need to hallow him and honor him. And these two men did not. What I was amazed as I continued to read through the scripture, I'm not going to read it through, I'll kind of sum up for you, is that when this happened, Moses knew the character of God. He knew that what had happened to these two men was the correct judgment from God. He did not even question it because he knew God's character. That's the point I'm making. He knew God's character. And he tells Aaron, do not even mourn for your two sons. Because if you mourn, you are as much as saying to God, your judgment is incorrect. That had to have been very hard. But the point was, they had dishonored God in their servitude, in their position. And the point God was making for me is Moses knew this so well that for him this was not hard. He knew better than to question. He told the two bodies to be carried out. It's astounding to me just to know God that well, but I believe that is the call for us, is to know God well enough that when we see judgment, and I don't know about you, but I would probably tend to argue, but Moses did not. We need to come before the Lord, not for what he can do, but for what and who he is. Period. For what and who he is. Our faith needs to rest in the character of God. That's where I was missing some of mine. I'll just give you a little small example here. This week, I had one trying day. I've been on the phone with Judy almost daily. She's going through a very, very hard test. And she called me two nights ago, and she'd been in and out of the emergency room because of her reactions to allergies. And she'd had another real hard case where one of the people in her room used a perfume. She immediately had an allergic reaction. And well, she's recounting this over the phone, and she's pretty highly agitated by this point. She can't go back in her room where all her stuff is. They're telling her that they're going to make her leave. And she could go anywhere, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, wherever they chose to send her, away from her church, away from everybody. Well, my impartation to her just came instantly. I said, the enemy doesn't want you there. And so we had a long discussion, and, you know, finally she calmed down and she became aware of this. I said, we're going to trust God, and he's going to either keep you there or send you whatever he does, it's okay. Well, after I hung up, I thought, oh my God, did I say the right thing? So I finally called up Peggy. I said, what do you get from this? So, you know, we thought we were hearing like a dime store novel, the saga of Judy. But anyway, we just finally agreed, God, you know what you're doing, even though this looks bad. Half an hour later, I get a phone call from my sister. Hi, I've been in the emergency room since 3 o'clock. Will you go please take care of my cats? That's wonderful. This is 9:15 at night. Really? You have told, he's called nothing. I had knew nothing was wrong. She has not imparted a thing. What are you doing? Well, I've had stomach pains for several days. She had pancreatitis several months ago, and I believe a fear got implanted to her. She doesn't admit to that, but now every time she gets a stomach pain, she thinks it's that. So she finally, the doctor finally told her to go to the emergency room, have tests. So she's waiting for a CAT scan. And she said, but I need to have somebody go over and clean out the litter boxes for my cats. Well, that's what she's thinking about. Believe my ears. Okay, God, okay, all right. So I hopped in my car, drove over there, cleaned out all our litter boxes. She has five. Clean out all the litter boxes, get back home. Now, by the time I'm coming to my driveway, it's 11 o'clock, and as you know, our son, our oldest son, lives with us. Well, there's certain character traits you know in a person, and he's never out that late. I pull in, and I said, okay, God, son's missing. At this point, where normally I'm kind of reasoning things away, It's the first time I started to lean on the character of God. When it started to spit out of my mouth was who God is rather than praying. I did pray, but I'm spitting out of my mouth who God is that makes the prayer more powerful, makes what happening to each of these three persons that have impacted me within the space of an hour and a half, so that my level of trust went up, but not easily, because this is a new place for me. So I just kept spitting out of my mouth why this prayer is what it is, and why they're going to be okay no matter what's happening to them. And that was a first for me to go to that level. It's pretty awesome. My son showed up 15 minutes later. Thank you, Lord. My sister's okay. Came home from the emergency room. Problem not solved, but she doesn't have pancreatitis. And the next day, Judy calls me and said, God took care of it. I'm in my own room. God took care of the whole thing. Thank you, Lord. So that was a trust in the character of God, rather than trusting in my prayer or trusting in some scripture that would pop in, but what's behind it. So that was a new level for me. I like this level, but it's still a little bit of a new uncomfortable place, but it's okay. It's all right. So at this point, God is really impacting me with scriptures. How willing are we to trust in the character of God in the hard places? Well, that was a hard place at that point. Not severe, but it was enough that it was causing me agitation. So how willing are we to trust in the character of God? Another area that God impacted me about himself. Now, this is about himself, because that's what I'm needing to know. Was again, I go back to this chapter in the book on Tozer, and the question was posed to God is, how can a holy God, let me use the exact wording here that he used, because this is the thought that I also had. And that question perplexed me, because I did not know the answer. How can you justify a wicked man and still be just? It's a pretty intense question, isn't it? He gave three answers. The first answer, I'm not going to go there because I'll be perfectly honest, the Lord has not really impacted me with that one. So I leave it in God's hands. I say, you make this clear, because this one isn't, but the second one, he did. And it was something I needed to know. And what he went into was the passion of Jesus Christ. You know, I had never thought of Jesus on the cross this way. He says here, and so that Holy One suffered, and his suffering in his own blood was for three things. It was infinite, almighty, and perfect. Now he's describing the character of God. That really, really, my heart started to open. And I thought, okay, infinite. What does that really mean? As Jesus died on the cross, we know that God was in Christ because the Word tells us that God was in Christ. So we know God was in Christ on the cross. So God is experiencing the whole cross. So the full measure of God's infinite power is in the cross. I understand that to a degree. Do I have the fullness? No. But that's a wonderful thing to know, that the full measure of God's infinite power is in the cross. That's something we all need to know, that we all need to have a greater understanding of, there's no way we can know that. Well, how do we know it's infinite? Because God is infinite. God is boundless. There's no limits to God whatsoever. So there's no limits to the power that was revealed and taken place in the cross. Okay, Lord, I thank you for that. I need to know that. Secondly, he mentions Almighty. Okay? God is Almighty. All-powerful. Almighty. So in the work on the cross, when God, the Almighty Maker, died, all the power there is was in that atonement. You can never overstate what was done in that atonement. You can never exaggerate it, because all that God is in the word Almighty was in the cross. Another character trait of God was in that cross. The third thing he mentions is perfect. The atonement in Jesus Christ's blood is perfect. Why? God is perfect. Because God was in it through every single part of it. That atonement is perfect. Nothing can be added to it. It was spotless. It was flawless. Absolutely perfect because God is perfect. I don't know about you, but that put a whole new dimension into the cross for me. That virtually, and this is very, very hard for me to grasp, but he says it and I thought, wow! Our great God suffered more than they suffer in hell. He suffered all they could suffer in hell. He suffered with the agony of God for everything that God does. He does with all that he is. Is that possible to grasp at? Everything that God does, he does with all that he is. So everything that was done on the cross was done with everything that God is. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So knowing the character of God makes a difference to each one of us of what the cross is. It has a much deeper meaning, has a much greater impact, much greater understanding. That one I am still digesting, but I am greatly, greatly, greatly blessed to know that, to even have that in seed form in me because of the character of God. I'll only mention one more area. God has been impacting me that in spite of knowing God is love, God loves me, that suddenly that wasn't, and I don't want to use the word enough, something was missing. What was missing was the fear of the Lord. And I've begun experiencing this in the last several weeks, is a fear, a reverence for God. Certain things he has done, certain things I've seen, certain things I've read, I feel this feeling inside that's different. And I know what it is. It's the fear of the Lord. So let me just give you a couple of scriptures and I'll leave you with that. Because as wonderful as it is to know how much God loves us, in love there can be some areas of maybe if we relate that love in any way to our walk on the earth, that love may get a little careless. It could get a little bit familiar. It could get whatever in our relationship to the earth. But if it's coupled with a fear of the Lord, that keeps us. That keeps us from sinning. that keeps us in awe and reverence for who he really is. Because we now know we're dealing with a holy God, so what is something the fear of the Lord does? Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of sons of men. Scripture tells me that God's great goodness abounds for those who fear him. I don't know about you, but if you want God's continual attention, Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. It's quite a statement, isn't it? But the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and those who will trust in his mercy. That's quite a promise. O fear of the Lord. This is Psalm 34:9. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. What an amazing promise. I will not want if I make a decision to walk in the fear of the Lord and allow God to let me know what that is. I need to allow him to let me know what it is. Psalm 145:19. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Wow. That's a pretty amazing promise, too. All of these promises are tied in to those who fear him. And I'll just give you one more. Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Another wonderful promise. So just to sum all this up, all of that comes about in my knowing and willing to learn the character of God. So if you're like me, if you're going through any hard place and you obey, I believe from what God has shown me that you're going to know something about the character of God that he wants to impact you with. And once that's in there, nothing can shake that loose. Be blessed.